Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Friday, leading into the weekend, divisional playoffs coming up. Coverage of the Saturday games live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, beginning at 4 with the Colts and Chiefs, and then the 8:15 Cowboys-Rams game. If you're looking for the Sunday games on radio, they will be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK, with the Chargers-Patriots at 1 and the Eagles and Swampers at 4:40 on Sunday on WAOK. All right, so we got that out of the way here. A kind of a programming note for us. We're going to be talking a little Falcons here because there's some stuff to chop up from Dan Quinn and what he said on a conference call yesterday. But also know that Thomas Dimitroff, general manager of the Falcons, will be here and join Hugh and I live at 9 a.m. this morning. So if you're going to be in and out of your car at 9 this morning, Thomas Dimitroff will join us. So I have a lot of questions for the GM, Hugh. A lot to get into now that you've settled the coaching issue. And now we get into that second part because I look at it in four phases. The coaches, that's settled. Now your own free agents and your own contracts and how much money you're going to have under the cap. Then the, you know, combine and regular free agency into March and then the draft into April. Kind of how I view all of it. Anyway, breaking it all kind of down into four different segments. And so you're kind of going into segment number two.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Everything, you know, the coaching carousel, if there was one, is settled. Now you have to figure out what guys are going to be here. Who's going to be a part of this next phase of the football team and, you know, just try to, you know, get back to your winning ways. The record this year, no, you can't have that. Can't happen again next year.
Now you hired people to try to solve some of the issues that you had in the key areas that you had issues in last year, obviously not including injuries, but certainly on the offensive line and with the running game, that's where you get in with, of course, the new offensive coordinator, in Dirk Koetter, the new tight ends coach, and Mike Mularkey and whatnot. You also addressed the issue with the return game and the coverage units by hiring a new special teams coordinator in Ben Kotwicki. You also hire somebody that was from outside the organization to create a position that you didn't have before, and that is somebody who is directly in charge of game clock management. And his name is Kyle Flood, and Dan Quinn talked about this new position and what the duties are.
Yeah, Kyle, in that role, will certainly assist me in a number of those areas in our preparation and in-game as well, including replay, including game and, you know, some clock things. That'll be a big part of his role for sure.
All right. So, Hugh, we've talked about it. And to the Falcons' credit, they didn't ignore this. I mean, the fans have all seen it, that there have been issues getting and relaying information either from upstairs to the sidelines or between coaches on the sidelines about, you know, how to use your timeouts better, when to use timeouts, when to seek to challenge certain plays. And the Falcons just had real struggles with that over the last couple of seasons with Dan Quinn, probably since the time he showed up. It's been an area of concern. They're finally addressing it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where a lot of fans, I'm pretty sure, John, that they're feeling like, why did you do this before? I think this was more so because of Coach Quinn is starting to take over the defensive play calling as far as the defensive coordinator is concerned. I don't think this has anything to do with the fact that there has been or he perceives himself as having a blind spot as far as clock management is concerned. I think this has more to do with the fact that he's taken over the defensive play call.
And by the way, nothing is static. This is a fairly new thing. I mean, there were no clock management guys just a few years ago, and now teams are starting to hire this position. So this is a fairly new thing, all right? It was like there were no capologists until you needed capologists, and everybody kind of realized that with all the new rules around the NFL that you need a clock management guy. A lot of college coaches are going to go to this too. You need a review and college management guy to sit in the booth and be your eyes and ears on how to handle that part of the game so that you don't make a mistake. More from the conference call yesterday. We mentioned the coaches. Now, just because you went out and hired these guys like Kotwicki to run the special teams and Koetter and Mularkey doesn't necessarily mean that everything is 100% settled. There are going to be some changing and shifting among the coaches, and Dan Quinn talked about that.
Raheem and I discussed with his kind of versatility, but we thought at this time it's really best the connection at receiver, the teaching that goes on there with him, and he adds a lot to our entire team. He has a connection across the ball, offensively, defensively, but I thought it was important that he stayed really consistent in his role, Jeff, moving forward.
All right, so the final decision, and we were waiting for it, is that Raheem Morris will stay as the receivers coach, which surprised me a little bit. I figured that, you know, if anybody had kind of the chops to be up at the booth and be his eyes in the sky on the defense, it might be Raheem. But, you know, for the sake of consistency, and obviously I think Dirk Cutter suggested he stay. And I would imagine that as you defer to certain players, one of the things you talk to is Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley. And if they say, we don't want Coach Morris to go, you know, I mean.
John, it don't work like that. I mean, I know, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that everybody is up in arms about who should say this and that and the third about who coaches where. It don't work like that. It don't. The closest thing that I've gotten to something of that nature was, hey, we hired Jim Johnson to be defensive coordinator. Or, hey, we're hiring Andy Reid to be the head coach. It's not up for discussion. It's not. Now, I understand that when it comes to the quarterback, there's a little bit of a different relationship. But most of the time, when coaches make decisions, they're not calling Julio Jones and they're not calling Mohamed Sanu, and they're not calling them guys. They're just not. As much as Julio means to this, they'll probably say, hey, who? You know, we're not changing any of the coaches. They're not saying, hey, how do you feel about Raheem? It doesn't happen as much as you would think it does. That's the point that I'm trying to make. So I don't know. You know, if that's something that people should be kind of up in arms about, because it doesn't happen like that. It really doesn't.
Coach Quinn talked about that. What about Matt Ryan and his input into the coaching changes this year? Did he have any?
Matt was not involved in the interviews in any way or at all, but I do believe that a past relationship of working together can pay off, because sometimes you can get, you know, moving more quickly and having the ability to, you know, get to the next space more quickly because you do have a good relationship. And I think the same can be said with Mike Mularkey. And I think what both men will realize, especially in Mike's case, I would say, is that Matt is a different quarterback and leader since the last time they were around him. And like all good players, you see their growth and their development. And I know both of them have spoken, you know, with Matt and with other guys on the offense. And they're pumped to do it. So I would say in no way was he involved in the process, but I do think there's benefits for sure about having a previous relationship.
So you don't think that Matt Ryan had would they have even said to Matt Ryan, hey, what do you think about this? I mean,
That might have been the case, but as far as saying, okay, sitting down with Matt and talking about, hey, Matt, who do you want to get? No, this is a symbiotic relationship. And I know I've said that before about other relationships, but – You got to think, Dirk Cutter's coming from a place where he just got fired, John. It would benefit him to come in here with Matt Ryan and get Matt Ryan back to where Matt Ryan was, where this team was in the playoffs. That does nothing but help his resume. Hey, he comes in, Dirk Cutter comes in and takes Matt Ryan back to where Coach Shanahan had him and the Falcons are in the Super Bowl. Or, you know, Mike Mularkey comes in, you know, with the brain trust of Mike Mularkey, Dirk Cutter. And you know, the other coaches here, you know, Coach Knapp, if he's here, they come in with the brain trust and the Falcons make it to the Super Bowl. That's great for all three of those guys. So it's beneficial for them to come in, regardless if they, you know, if they've had conversation or not, for them to make Matt Ryan the best quarterback that he can be.
Yeah, this staff, it's one of the things I want to talk to the general manager about it now. I'm, you know, talking about the intention, because it really is an unusual staff in some regards. You have, I don't know how many teams have ever had, we'd have to next-gen stat this thing, but as we talk about the Falcons this morning, we look at the coaches after Dan Quinn addressed it yesterday. This is a team that now has three former offensive coordinators of this franchise on the staff at the same time. As Hugh mentioned, Greg Knapp, Mike Mularkey, and Dirk Cutter. When do you ever get three former offensive coordinators on the same staff at the same time? It also has four head coaches, three former and one current, Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris, Mike Mularkey, and Dirk Cutter. And Coach Quinn talked about having that many head coaches on the staff.
Experience, for sure, it's a factor, but there's usually something else there that goes with it. In Mike's regard, you know, like the excellence that he's shown in the run game and the toughness that his teams have played with. In Dirk's case, yeah, he's got plenty of experience, but it was the explosive nature and how they did, the similarities and how they attack, and a very clear vision of how to utilize our personnel in that same way. Experience, yes. Contrarian, yes. But at the end of the day, you know, what will this person dial and attitude bring to the team?
Yeah, it's really interesting to have kind of that much, you know, the resumes on this coaching staff are long, Hugh.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a lot of accomplished in their own ways offense coordinators. And with all of that, with all this brain trust being what it is, John, I mean, honestly, I'm looking at the Falcons, regardless of to what moves they made in free agency so far, which, I mean, obviously they made none. I'm looking for them to do big things next year. I mean, that's the only way I can look at it. Look big things with all those offensive gurus and all those minds in there. There should be game plans that are virtually unstoppable every Sunday. I mean, you know, they should be.
Yeah, it's so interesting in a way that the Falcons have chosen to do this and fly in the face of what is the new convention in the NFL. Because the new convention in the NFL is to go out and make that home run Sean McVay hire. Because the Sean McVay, how old is Sean McVay? And he suddenly is
like
having,
what, 35?
He has a coaching like tree in the NFL. He could have two coaches come out of his, already two head coaches come out of the Sean McVay tree at age, 35. You got Matt LaFleur coming out of the Sean McVay League to be the head coach of the Packers, and now we're hearing that as early as the day after the Rams get eliminated, that Zach Taylor, the offensive coordinator of the Rams, will then become the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, and Zach Taylor has zero, like Matt LaFleur, zero head coaching experience.
It's good to be friends with Sean McVay. It's good to be somebody that's been close to Sean McVay. That's the truth.
Man, it seems to me, Hugh, these are really big gambles. Everybody wants that hot. They want to hit that ground running. They want that offensive genius to walk in the door and change the fortunes of the franchise, to go to from the staid old Jeff Fisher and retread to the bright new shiny thing and Sean McVay, who can get something out of somebody. And look, Sean McVay has done a wonderful job in L.A., no question. Done a great job. But I just find it sort of interesting that you know, the Falcons are going the exact opposite direction by going in and bringing in all of these. Again, when you have four guys who were head coaches in the NFL on your staff at the same time and three offensive coordinators, the Falcons on the staff at the same time, man, that's a little bit different. I'd love to be able to add up the years of coordinator and head coaching experience on one staff and compare them around the league, the Falcons versus everybody else. It's just a different way to do things, I guess.
Yeah, but you got to think, the reason why everybody is riding the hot hand of Coach McVay is for what he's been able to do with the young quarterback, Goff, because Jared Goff looked like a guy who was going to be a bust under Coach Fisher. And then it's the timing of everything, too, John, because Jeff Fisher, at one point, Coach Fisher, was considered one of the premier coaches in the NFL, well-respected coach.
Yep.
And you look at the trajectory or the spiraling out of control that the Rams were on, and for Sean McVay to come in a short period of time, get that team in the position that they're in, yeah, he's the hot hand. He's definitely the hot hand. Anybody that has broken bread with Sean McVay or has cut his grass or anything like that, they're going to get consideration for a head coaching job right now.
Well, here's your chance right now to make your weekend even more special by winning $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
garden, G-A-R-D-E-N, garden, like Madison Square or something you have in your backyard, right? Garden, G-A-R-D-E-N, to 72881. Garden to 72881, the national signing bonus word for the hour till 7:59. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Yada, yada, 92timethegame.com /rules for rules and all that kind of good stuff. Garden, G-A-R-D-E-N, to 72881. And hopefully if you text Garden to 72881, you win $1,000 in this hour's national signing bonus. You're randomly selected, and they call you and tell you you won $1,000. If they do, call us. Let us know you won, because we want you to win out there. Garden to 72881. We're talking about the Falcons, talking about the NFL. It is the divisional round weekend, and we're going to get into that. We'll break down the Saturday games coming up in about 10 minutes. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll break down the Sunday games for you. Give us, you know, your thoughts, and certainly later in the show, we're going to go ahead and pick the games, but give us kind of the insight a little bit as to what we can expect this week in these NFL playoffs. Yeah, it is so I don't know. I mean, man, these young coaches. I mean, Zach Taylor, last season, Zach Taylor was offensive coordinator. The season before, he was an assistant wide receivers coach.
Okay? Meteoric rise.
No kidding.
I mean, it pays to be a young coach in the NFL nowadays. I mean, and, you know, this is a copycat league, John. And you look at what the Rams have been able to do since Coach McVay's been there. They were one of the worst teams in the NFL when they did Hard Knocks, I remember sitting there and listening to some of the show, and then when they moved and was like, wow, this is probably the worst team in the NFL. And they were talking about how it was a big to-do about how small Jared Goff's hands were and how he couldn't be a quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at him. And it just goes to show you how if you get the right guy, if you get the right guy in place, how he could change the fortunes of your football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also it helps that he's a younger coach and guys, they probably can't relate to him. It's probably real relatable. They probably sit up there and play video games together. They probably play Call of Duty. You know, who knows? Who knows what it is? But you know, if it's working, that's a great thing. That's the great thing about it. It's working for him right
now. And it's not just the NFL, of course. It's college football, too. That was the Lincoln Riley effect at Oklahoma. And then the story says that Zach Taylor going to be – that the Bengals have settled on Zach Taylor to be their head coach. And, by the way, Zach Taylor will, as soon as the Eagles are – or he's elevated, he's going to rob the Eagles of their quarterback coach, which happens to be his brother, Press Taylor, would leave the Eagles as quarterback coach to come over to Cincinnati to be the offensive coordinator. And you'd have the two Taylor brothers kind of running things in Cincinnati. Whether that works or not, I have no idea. All I know is that, you know, Bengals have had a bit of a playoff drought. Yeah.
For a long time.
Long time.
So, yeah.
And that's a franchise that's been to a couple of Super Bowls back in the day. But it's
well,
been
when Boomer? Boomer was quarterback. That was the last
Kenny,
time they went.
Yeah, and Kenny Anderson.
Back. Well, Boomer was the last quarterback,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, so, two of them, yeah. Yeah, Boomer and Kenny Anderson. Yeah, so no, it's been a long time for the Cincinnati Bengals. Been a minute, as they say. A lot to break down over the next 2.5 hours and change. Again, Thomas Dimitroff live at 9 a.m. this morning. We'll talk to the Falcons general manager. That will be one discussion at 9 a.m. We'll be talking about the Falcons and what's next for them in terms of players and free agency and contracts and all that kind of stuff, and then going to be a great honor, too, for me to have the legendary Terry Pendleton on at 9:20 this morning. I don't think I've talked to Terry in a long time. Man, when he came over in 91, we Braves fans were just going gaga. The year he had, that MVP season, the best moves the Braves made was grabbing him from the Cardinals. That'll be at 9:20. Next up, our first look at the games tomorrow. What do we see? What do Hugh and I see for the Colts, Chiefs, Cowboys, and Rams? We'll do that.
Now streaming anywhere on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The divisional round of the playoffs in the National Football League. Tomorrow, live on 92.9 The Game, our coverage begins with the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs at 4 o'clock, and Cowboys and Rams at 8:15. Both games live on 92.9 The Game. We'll talk about the Sunday games in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to spend a little time here in the 7 o'clock hour talking about the two Saturday games. But before we get to that, and welcome back to the morning show on this Friday, hope you're having a safe drive in on a – man, it's a little chilly out there. It got cold out there today. But it's a high sky. It's going to be bright sunshine today. I hope you're having a safe drive in. I noticed that the big newspaper, and I just saw this in the break, Hugh, the big newspaper in Phoenix overnight with a headline saying, this is Phoenix, Arizona, trade options emerging for Cardinals with number one pick. Well, well, well. Well, that's the Kyler Murray effect.
Yeah. With what you said yesterday, there was a few other people that felt like Kyler Murray could potentially be the first round draft pick. And think about it like this, John. If I am becoming the first-time head coach ever and I have the number one overall pick in the draft, I'm going to get who I want. And like, it's a perfect storm for him. It's a perfect storm for Cliff Kingsbury. When he's talking about how if he had a chance to get Kyler Murray, he would, regardless if Josh Rosen is there. I mean, it really hasn't. He hasn't shown a lot. And there was somewhere where I even heard, now this is all conspiracy theory, nothing to base this on, but that there could be a potential place where Josh could land, and that's New York, the New York Giants, because there was some talk during the draft last year that was a potential place for him to land. So it would only make sense. It just all depends on how much are you willing to give up for an unproven quarterback, an unproven young quarterback.
Yeah, it is interesting. It does change the landscape, this whole Kyler Murray to the NFL thing. And it's very good news for the Falcons again, because it would put another player up at the top of the draft to push another one of those defensive tackles down a little bit further towards you at number 14. All right, let's get into some of the games, the Saturday games. Before, let's start with this. Yesterday, Brian Billick, former NFL head coach, was on with us, and we had a chance to talk, he's of course an analyst for NFL Network, about who he thinks will make it, what he sees for Super Bowl 53.
I'll give you a couple surprise picks, though. I think New Orleans is going to be there in the NFC, although I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts, simply because I think they have the combination. If they play their game, they could do something in a very unique way. Plus, let's stir it up, and I'll do a radio show here in a half hour, and I'll pick two other teams, and at some point I'll be right.
Hey, that makes me feel better, Coach. When you pick the Cowboys, you know, being an Eagle, that don't make me – I don't want to hear those Cowboys fans. I just don't.
I double whammied you today, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, the double whammy. So the Cowboys and Colts, the two road teams tomorrow, and we talked about it at the top of the show. Three road teams win last week. How many road teams this week? Brian Billick's saying, Hugh, that the two road teams not only going to win tomorrow, they're going to win the following week and make it all the way to Super Bowl 53. The Colts and the Cowboys.
That would not – that my stomach would be sick. My stomach would be hurting if I had to be in a city that is inundated with Cowboys. Oh, my gosh. I could not hear the last of that. It would just be the absolute worst thing that could potentially happen to me in life. That would just be bad. I don't even want to think about that.
All right. Well, now you know we commiserate.
I mean,
if Arthur's team shows up, that's how we're going to feel.
But let's play the odds here. It's a better chance that Arthur's team is going to be here.
Yeah, which makes
than the Cowboys.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, I'm cool with that. I mean, I know nobody else in Atlanta is probably cool with that. But for me, I'd rather have the Saints than the Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay.
I get it.
Indianapolis, Kansas City, first game up. Colts go in against Kansas City. Pat Mahomes had that incredible season. 50-0 touchdown passes for Pat Mahomes. Now, a little bit different because it's the postseason.
I mean, for me, it's my first playoff game. I'm excited just to be here. And then at the same time, get the opportunity to go out there and win games like this. I mean, when you grow up, you want to go and play games like this. When you get older, you want to be a professional athlete and you want to win on the biggest stage. And so for me, it's about going out there, and like I said, be myself, lean on my teammates, and try to go out there and win a big football game.
Man, Pat Mahomes is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't you expect a quarterback to say, yeah, sure? You know, I mean, I don't know. Is it me?
His voice?
Yeah.
Is it a little grating? Yeah, his voice is a little grating. We were just talking about that.
Chiefs are the number one seed in the AFC for the first time since 1995. They say weather for the game, 35 degrees, 36 degrees, and a small chance of precipitation. Chiefs are 0-6 in their last six postseason games at Kansas City. Winless at Arrowhead in the postseason since 1993. It's almost hard to believe.
Yeah.
Andy Reid talking about the expectation of what it's going to be like.
Well, it'll be a great atmosphere. Our fans are unbelievable. Best in the National Football League, man. And so we look forward to getting them in Arrowhead. And they got a little warm-up period. We don't start till 3:30-ish right in there. So they'll be ready to go. A little barbecue, you know, and then we're going. So.
Yeah, he said a little warm up here. You know he's talking about alcohol. A little warm up here. Barbecue.
Yeah.
There we're going.
Well, you're going to need some of that warming period if it's going to be 36 degrees. Did it say anything about the wind, what the wind chill might be?
I don't know.
It could be a little bit nippy because that stadium, it will blow around that stadium.
This is the interesting game because, like, with that, was it 0-6 at home for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah.
And that debacle that they had last year?
Yeah, the last six months.
Man. Games, right? Coach Reed might be looking for a job at the end of the year. I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's my man. I love him to death. But Coach Reed might be on the hot seat. Kansas City being the number one seed and getting knocked off by a Frank Wright team? Oh, my gosh. But, you know, this is the NFL, man, and Coach Wright got those guys playing.
For the Colts, they come in off that win over the Texans where they ran the ball down the Texans' throat. The Colts have maybe the best offensive line in the NFL at the moment, playing the way they have, winning 10 of their last 11 games. Quentin Nelson has gone to a new level, and they're facing their biggest challenge because even though Kansas City's defense isn't very good, the 31st in the league, and that's putting it mildly, the Chiefs' pass rush has been the best in the league, 52 sacks this season. So it's that sack potential of the Chiefs against that offensive line of Andrew Luck, and this is what Luck had to say.
We're in the same mode we've been in for a while. One, today it's about improving. It's about being 1% better, 1% better, 1% better. And the goal at the end of the week is be 1-0. And you've heard us say that before, and we've lived it. And yeah, maybe there's a little more chatter outside, but that doesn't affect how we prepare. It doesn't affect, you know, what we do, how we operate. And so the focus has been great so far and will continue to be that way.
The battle of two quarterbacks that need to put bass in their voice. A little bit of bass.
A cartoon character and marbles.
Yes.
Marbles.
I'm going to get in trouble for that. Before anybody gets offended by me talking about their quarterback, I apologize. Fine. I just don't. It's Friday. I don't feel like being called in office, so fine. I apologize because I don't want to hear nobody crying on my Twitter feed talking about how I'm talking about the way somebody talks. So I apologize before you tweet me.
All right, that is the early game. We'll pick the games later on in the program. The late game on Saturday, Dallas and the Rams. Cowboys coming in off that opening round win at home over Seattle, which was, by the way, the Cowboys' third playoff win in the last 23 years, which makes me realize that people who are my daughter's age, my daughter Danielle's age, they weren't alive when the Cowboys were a superpower. And they were the New England Patriots and the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they were winning all the Super Bowls. They don't know that time with three playoff wins in 23 years. Going to be a beautiful day in L.A., 64 degrees, blah, 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 blah. Todd Gurley has been cleared at 100%, hasn't played in a month. They say he looks like he's very explosive in practice, and Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, says this about the game.
There's a confidence that's been earned where there's an expectation of, we have a lot of respect for the Dallas Cowboys, but we expect to win this game. And we know it's going to take a great effort, but we're going in with the mindset, the mentality that we expect to win. I think that confidence is something that's been earned every day by our players. And then we got to go out and prove it on Saturday night against a great opponent.
All right, which matchup is going to determine this game more, Hugh? Gurley versus Zeke, that's 1-3 in terms of the, you know, rushing yards and maybe the two best running backs in the NFL, or Goff versus Dak, neither of which has had much success, if any, in the postseason.
Ooh, I would probably say Gurley versus Zeke. I would probably go that route because you got two prideful running backs. Ty Gurley has been like the staple. He's the upper echelon. Zeke's right there with him. So if I'm Zeke, I'm looking at it like I want to prove to the world that I'm the better back. Ty Gurley's like, man, you need to get on my level, like for real. And Ty's been a little bit banged up, so it's gonna be on Todd to go out there and get it done. He's gonna have to be the one to get it done.
Gurley hadn't played in a month. It's been November 15th the last time he was on the field, but he is 100% and said this about the game.
I mean, basically everybody I know hate the Cowboys, so they've been just hitting me up all week. So I gotta try to take care of business for those guys. But no personal history. Everyone in the world knows, you know, that's America's team. And you know, it's a primetime game playoff, so what better, you know, playoff game in L.A. versus America's team, you know.
Sarcasm.
So definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a great matchup.
I love it. Sarcasm from Ty Gurley. I love it.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody I know hates the Cowboys.
Everybody hates the Cowboys. Nobody likes the Cowboys, man. Yeah. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you're a front runner.
So everybody I know hate the Cowboys, so.
Well, the Cowboys actually have a pretty big following in L.A. because, remember, for years and years and years, they've held their training camp right up the just north
Oxnard.
Of L.A. in Oxnard,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We'll look at the two Sunday games coming up in the next hour. Still to come top of the 9 o'clock hour in about an hour and a half, Thomas Dimitroff, general manager of the Falcons, joins us live. Next up, one of the wildest stats of the NBA season happened the other night. This is one of those, really? That what? You got to hear this. Next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this bright, sunny, chilly Friday morning leading to the weekend NFL playoffs. Hawks play tonight on the road. Lloyd Pierce against his old team, the Philadelphia 76ers. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with the pregame show. The tip was Steve Holman on the call at 7 from Philadelphia. Does anybody know the name? Arthur, anybody know the name of the stadium in Philadelphia, the basketball stadium? I can't remember.
I remember it used to be the Wachovia. It used to be Wachovia.
See, I remember the Spectrum, but yeah, they tore that down, didn't they?
No, I can't remember the name of the new stadium.
I can't remember. I can never keep track of it because they just changed the name of the baseball stadium in San Francisco, just changed names for, I think, the fourth time. Nobody could keep track of what they call these stadiums anymore.
No, I can't remember the name of it.
Because it was AT&T Park and then Pac Bell Park or something like that. It's not Oracle Park, as if we need another Oracle out there.
As a matter of fact, I believe they made that known yesterday,
yeah,
officially.
Yeah, these stadiums changed name. Anyway, for whatever the name of the stadium is in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks, and Lloyd Pierce, of course, trying to model his team after the 76ers, and what a nice start they've had. Hugh, nobody talks much about the 76ers being a legit contender in the East, but you ought to. I mean, this is a team that has grown up. They're 27-15. They're in fourth place right now. They could finish in the top, you know, three or even the top two by the time it's all said and done. And they've done it with a young team that they built over the course of time. This Joel Embiid team, yes, they added Jimmy Butler, and that's been a big addition to them. But that's exactly what the Hawks want to do. You want to go out and get your Ben Simmons, your Joel Embiid, you know, your Markelle Fultz. And then when you're ready, you go out and make the big move to kind of take you to that next level. And that's what Jimmy Butler offers to them. And nobody talks much about the 76ers being a contender, but here they are. This is a team.
We've talked about it, John, but we've been more focused on Toronto and what the Raptors are doing and the fact that Kawhi Leonard is there and how he's been a huge factor in the success that they're having this year. But nobody's not – I mean, the 76ers were a playoff team last year. So, yeah, you're not – nobody's just counting them. Not at all.
By the way, I did notice this just this morning. Apparently there was last Tuesday night Klay Thompson scored 43 points, all right? And that's no big whoop. But there was one of those next gen stats that might make this, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Hugh, because I'm not sure I've ever heard of this, and whether Arthur's ever heard of this in all the years that he followed the NBA as to this kind of a stat. Klay Thompson had 43 points, and I don't know who comes up with these stats. And in the game, four dribbles. Now that's not four times dribbling the ball. That's four bounces of the ball, and he scored 43 points bouncing the ball.
We mean only bounce, so that means he's pick and pop. So that means he was a spot shooting.
Yep, spot shooting the whole game.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
43 points. He dribbled the ball four times. Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive. I mean, how many times can you find that guy that's dribbled the ball 400 times that has 4 points? You know, pound the rock, pound the rock, pound the rock, pound the rock. You know, that dude.
That just means they have him in perfect position as to where he needs to let his shot fly.
Yeah, I know. And he can knock the lights out of it. That's what you call a spot-up shooter. There ever was one. 43 points on four shots. So, again, the Hawks and Philadelphia 76ers. Hawks try and snap a five-game road losing skid against one of the best teams in the NBA. Be tall order tonight for this game for the Atlanta Hawks. Tip at 7 with Steve Holman. All right, I'm getting a lot of people on my Twitter this morning are giving me a hard time, Hugh, about – see, I tweeted out the words to the Eagles fight song on my Twitter.
Yeah.
And so some Falcons fans are not happy about that. And so they're getting in my grill a little bit because, you know, they're saying I shouldn't be rooting for another team. Well, what am I supposed to do?
Well – you tell those Falcons fans that feel that way, because I had a few, that what's the alternative?
Yeah, right.
What's your alternative? Because you're going to be crying. The same cats that are crying about who you're rooting for are going to be the same cats that are going to be crying about when the Saints invade Mercedes-Benz Dome here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
anything
we can use, any love that we could throw towards the defending Super Bowl champions, and there hasn't been a repeat champion, as we know, since the Patriots back in 2004 and 2005. You know, the Nick Foles magic and Napoleon Dynamite, and I don't care what you want to kind of dig out. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, anything you could throw, because the last time the Eagles went down to New Orleans, they got crushed in that game. So, you know, anything we could do to try and keep the, you know, Saints out of the Super Bowl and away from here, yeah. So don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger here, all right? I mean, get out of here with that crap. What are you posting the Eagles fight song?
I mean, I probably wouldn't have went that far, John, to post a fight song. I mean, that's, you know, you are a tad bit extreme when it comes to things like that. But I would say that during the game that I'm watching, that I would probably say, hey, I hope the Eagles win. Wouldn't go so far as posting the fight song, you know.
Well, this one guy, Laptop Lombardi, is getting on me about, you know, I shouldn't be posting this up. And then he says, you know, he comes back, and he, ostensibly he's a Falcons fan. He says this. He says, I respect the hell out of Drew Brees. If he gets another ring, I won't be too upset about it. Well, I'm about to tweet him back. Do you realize what the hell we are going to go through for the rest of my life if the New Orleans Saints come to this town and win a Super Bowl, you will never hear the end. And he goes on to say, the Saints will be just that. When they're done, they'll go back to bottom feeders. That won't matter. The Saints could lose every game for 22 years, and they're never going to let you forget that they claimed a ring in your stadium. Bad enough they already won one. You know, bad enough that they, you know, are going to bring the stink to town. Bad enough they beat us twice in the regular season. But, no, the Super Bowl here? No. Just to be careful what you wish for, because that would be really bad news.
It would not be good. I mean, but okay, let's be realistic. It's a potential. It's a strong chance that that's going to happen. So you might as well wrap your mind around that, because I'm sitting here as an Eagles fan, as an Eagles alumni. I'm telling you, I'm rooting for the Eagles. I mean, you know, that's a given. But would not be surprised if the outcome was the Saints won. I don't think the Saints are going to blow the Eagles out. I don't believe that. But it's going to be one of those games where, you know, it's going to come down like a mistake is going to be the turning point of the game. That's my biggest fear. It's like it's going to be one of those games where it might be a touchdown win. It's going to be a touchdown win, and to me, that makes it hurt even worse, because you're talking about a team that got blowed. Yeah, that's right. I said blowed. Got blowed out the first time they saw each other. And then for it to come down to a touchdown loss either way, that's going to be tough for whomever, whichever fan base is moving on to the next game. And then you got to think about how physically exerting that game is going to be. That's going to be a tough, hard-fought game. That, to me, is going to be the toughest game of the weekend, in my mind.
Well, I certainly hope it is, and I certainly hope the Philadelphia Eagles can have a Philadelphia miracle in them to do something that would knock those Swampers out. And Arthur would be like, man, you know, we had a chance to – and he would say, yeah, that didn't happen so much.
You know, Coach, I got to ask you, because you got me all excited now, and I'm just going to ask you flat out, you know what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles against the Saints earlier in the season? Can Philadelphia go to New Orleans and get a win?
No.
Oh.
I'd let you know. Yeah, now, Philadelphia has got the pedigree, and they can believe in themselves. And Jim Schwartz will do a good job. They'll play better than they did last time. But that Saints, you talk about having that balance, the same offense, compared to, say, maybe the Rams. Uh-huh. The Saints are the number one seed.
That was Brian Billick on our show yesterday. No.
Well, you know, everybody has an opinion, and his might carry a little bit more weight because he did coach in the NFL. But I got something that Coach Billick ain't got. I got ties to the team, and I got a belief that they're going to win. And right now, that's all I got.
Well, but it does say something, though.
And we got Nick Foles.
About Nick Foles. Maybe there's just that magic with this guy. We'll break down the Sunday games, including the Eagles and the coming up at about 8:20. Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff live at 9 this morning. Terry Pendleton live at 9:20. Next, did Georgia Tech football and Jeff Collins, the new coach, make its biggest move yet towards moving up quickly? We'll bring you up to speed on that as we continue on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game.